We've been in a series. This is the second installment of the series that I've entitled, I Love My City. And today I want to talk about, just for the next few moments, the divine order of things. Colossians 1:16 through 17 gives us an incredible statement that all of us as believers must understand and really comprehend if we're going to understand the divine order of things. Here's what it says. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things. When you consider all things being created, even the demonic realm had an intended created purpose that God created them for, but because of their pride, they fell, and of their own free will, they're choosing to cause chaos rather than come into the order of how things are. Verse number 17. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. So the Bible has this shocking claim that if God is at the forefront, then things are going to be in order of peace and joy and hope and love. But when things are out of order, that's when chaos begins to cause just untold kinds of problems to the community. Jeremiah 29:7 says this, seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace, you will have peace. So we learned a couple weeks ago that a city's strongholds are oftentimes a church's strongholds. And if we want our cities to be free, we've got to pray that our churches are free. Amen? So every city from ancient Mesopotamia to Grants Pass reflects of the heart of the people who live in it. When the hearts fall out of order, city falls out of order. Violence, corruption, injustice, addiction, gender confusion, rebellion, disunity, political infighting, church business centers. They are not just social problems. I believe that they are spiritual disorders. Disorders are something that the doctors give you when they're trying to tell you that something in your body is not in correct order or alignment. You have a disorder. I like to use the word misorder, that when the people of God misorder the priorities of God, we become a disorder or have disorderly things that happen in our lives. One of our church fathers, Thomas Aquinas, taught that everything in creation has a telos, a divinely intended purpose, or an ordered end. When things are rightly ordered, ordo amoris, the order of love, they reflect God's wisdom and glory. But when the loves are disordered, or when we love lesser things more and greater things less, chaos and corruption enter the world. In his book or paper of Summa Theologica, he wrote, peace is the tranquility of order. I understand that to mean when compassion is disordered or out of alignment, systems become broken. I don't know about you, but if you've ever had back problems, when things are out of alignment, everything hurts. I took my wife to the chiropractor one time, and I watched what the chiropractor did to her, and I was actually starting to get feelings of jealousy and envy. That doctor was like jumping on her and like elbowing her and cracking. It was like, I looked at her and said, how dare you allow that man touch you that way? You guys ever been to the chiropractor? Am I the only one? But when you're in pain, you allow things that you wouldn't normally allow, right? When you're out of alignment, isn't it interesting that everything hurts? Basil the Great said this, in creation, we see the order of wisdom, and nothing is without arrangement. So in a city, disorder, violence, division, greed, despair, poverty, is really a spiritual symptom of disordered love. Now I'm going to give you a key of life here that many of you probably have never been clued on. Life is not just about choosing between good and evil. If you didn't wake up this morning and do hard drugs today, I'm so thankful that you made that choice. That is more of a black or white kind of choice where we know very quickly that if you walk down that road, that is a good and evil choice. But good and evil is not really where life is won. Life is won by how I order good with good. As a pastor, I've got to make hard decisions. As a board, we have to make hard decisions, not with good versus evil, but good versus good. The budget, who's going to get the more money, the youth or the children? Who's going to get more of the emphasis? Is it going to be the benevolence fund that helps people locally, or the missions fund that helps people globally? Oftentimes how churches win, how families win, how communities win, aren't when you have to decide between good versus evil, but how do you decide versus good? Proverbs 17:15 says it this way: he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous are both alike an abomination to the Lord. So the tension between justice and injustice is a line that most of society is getting wrong today. Now, I want to preface my next few statements by saying that if I had the answers, I would have offered them a long time ago. And I don't think that we're all collectively smart enough to handle all of the things that are happening in society that are wrong. But I'm going to give you some examples of how societies get things wrong when it comes to good versus good, or things of compassion. When they get disordered, communities go in chaos. Is that a good preface to the statement I'm about to say? Okay. So if I had an answer for the homeless epidemic that's all over our nation, including our state, where Grants Pass has become ground zero at the Supreme Court level, if I had an answer to the homeless epidemic or issue, I would have given that answer a long time ago on how to get people housed, out of poverty, into a place of rest and peace. If I had the logical step-by-step answer, I would give it. But I don't think that it's a logical answer. I think it's a spiritual problem. And so oftentimes communities look to governments that are out of order, asking for answers that are in order, when really you're looking in the wrong spot. And so right now what we're having to decide as a community or as a nation is, where do you prioritize the compassion for the homeless? Do you put them over the life of children, or the children in your community growing up in safe parks, in safe little leagues? I will never forget, a couple years ago, my son was playing Little League, or local baseball club league, at one of our local parks. And the kids were out playing in the ball fields, and ambulances were coming to tents outside of the kids swinging a bat and playing baseball. The kids were so oblivious to what was happening that they were having to revive a homeless person who'd been drug overdosed. And if that was not a picture of what our community is facing, is how do you order in compassion the proper answers so that kids can grow up in a safe community where families can access parks, where also you have compassion on those who are addicted in drugs that need to have compassion on them? And how, instead of fighting this war that can only be fought with Jesus, how do we wake everybody up enough to say, listen, we have to learn that there is a proper order of priority, and the church has to be at the leading edge of this? When I look at the news and I think about how veterans need care, people who have fought overseas for our freedom oftentimes are getting less access to health care than immigrants that are coming from overseas. I don't think that we should not have compassion on immigrants, but I also think it's out of priority when veteran care is less and people that come from outside are getting more. And so it's not a matter, I'm stepping close to the line today because I want to give you some real solutions to the issues that are facing us, because I love my city. It's not to say that we have to pick either or. We as a mature society can do and both. But when the priority gets out of alignment or out of whack, what you begin to see is communities and cities in chaos. When the state budget of Oregon will spend more money on health care for immigrants than they will with the state police budget, when the life of the mother versus the life of the child, there's conversations that it's out of priority. And some of these are so nuanced and so above my intellect and pay grade, but I know that when you look across the horizon of communities and see communities in chaos, what you can take from that is that they are a city out of priority, or out of priorities for God. When we'll pick sports over attendance on a Sunday, Our families are taking priorities away from the things of God. It is not that sports is bad. It's not that compassion on the homeless is bad. It's not that loving immigrants is bad. We're commanded to do that in Scripture, I believe. But when you get things out of priority, things become more chaotic. Compassion on the poor is awesome. Compassion on the poor while neglecting children or the safety of families is cruel. Misordered compassion, it ruins marriages, it ruins families, it ruins churches, it ruins cities. When society shows compassion to the criminal but forgets the victim, what it teaches is it teaches that lawlessness is worthy of empathy and righteousness is expendable. I grew up in the state of California. Don't throw rocks at me, all right? I think what we're seeing in society is the pendulum being swung. So when I grew up, there was this thing called the three strikes law. And there were a lot of people that were getting in criminal trouble that had the opportunity to be restored. And it seemed like the three strikes law was a little bit on the unfair side of injustice. It's not that it wasn't deserving. It's not that you don't have to follow the law. I want you to track with me this morning. So when we abolish this three strikes law, now we have people that are getting arrested 112 times. And they never have to answer for the actions. And so what you're seeing is a pendulum that has swung so far away from justice and has overstepped to mercy, because when you misorder the priorities of God, what you do is you give more mercy to the criminal and less mercy to the person who's the victim. And so the Bible teaches, if you read this wonderful book, it will actually teach you how to fall into proper alignment or priority in your own personal life. Pastor, why are you talking about this? Well, I'm talking about this because here's what Matthew 24 and 12 says. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Scripture prophesied that in the last days, there was going to come an atmosphere or an environment where we were going to reprioritize to our own liking, to our own ways, to our own convenience, to our own consumer mentality, that we weren't going to align ourselves with the Word of God. We were going to tell the Word of God it better aligned to us. And the Bible says it's in that atmosphere in the last days that lawlessness will be increased, and because of lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. Do you remember like 10 or 15 or 20 years ago, you would drive by someone who asked for 25 cents or a dollar for a meal, and your heart of compassion would say, yeah, I need to go buy that person a meal. Do you know what typically happens now when we drive by people like that? They've chosen that. They've chosen that lifestyle. They're there because of their own choices. They need to deserve that. That is an example of society going from honoring lawlessness, and when you honor lawlessness, what ends up happening is your heart becomes cold, gets jaded. As a pastor, I can tell you we deal with this on a consistent basis. We have a revolving door at the front of our offices every week. We have individuals that come in that are hungry, they're hopeless, that are addicted, that are in need of benevolence. And we made a rule at our church when I arrived here that the answer was not going to be no. Even though we know that they misuse things and they do things and they manipulate. Now, they might not get $100, but they can get a $5 Taco Bell gift card for lunch. But they're going to get prayed the prayer of deliverance over their life before they're sent off to go have some lunch at Taco Bell. And so, it's not that we want to create a naive church. It's not that we want to create a church that so overends on the side of mercy that we don't remember justice. But it's also that we don't want to create a church that only knows justice but doesn't know mercy. And so that tension, that Bible says that in the book of Proverbs, that scripture we just read, that tension between honoring the righteous judgments, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous are both alike an abomination to the Lord. That tension between justice and mercy is where we as a church-believing body have to lead so that our community can get aligned according to the Word of God. Compassion on the trespasser or criminal is injustice to the victim. So when God's order is broken, peace disappears. But when his order is restored, peace returns, not just to a heart, but to a home, to a street, or to a city. That's why I say, I love my city of Grants Pass. When I drive through this community, I don't see what's not. I see what it's supposed to be. When I drive by some of the chaos that is visible, that chaos doesn't instruct me how to feel, because I am a child of God. And as a child of God, I read the Word of God and know that our city is just a couple decisions away from becoming a destination location for people that want to move. Come on, somebody. It's the heart of faith in the people that says, I know what it looks like in the sky right now. I know that it doesn't look like there's rain coming, but I know that there's a cloud the size of a man's hand. And so people of faith look at a community and say, I love my city because I love my city enough to see not where it's at, but what God has called us to be. So if you see broken order in the community you live in, I believe it's because there's broken order in the church and the families in that community. It's really simple to see the brokenness out there. It's a lot harder to see the broken priorities in here. I'm going to give you 5 quick points this morning about how I believe that we're called as believers to reorder our lives so that our city can find peace once again. Here's point 1. I believe that God created Grants Pass with a divine order in mind. Before there were neighborhoods and highways, I believe that there was a heaven's design for this community. I believe before God ever made the tree, every street, every soul, it had a purpose and a position. Aquinas called that the order of things. Every created thing pointing back to its creator. So, Pastor, what happened? Sin happened. Sin flips the order and turns what is supposed to be peaceful into chaos. In our world today, people love things and use people instead of loving people and using things. We chase pleasure instead of purpose, status instead of surrender, comfort instead of calling. But I believe I'm here as on assignment in this community to let this community know that God does not abandon cities. He sent his son to rescue them. Jesus, when walking the dusty streets of Nazareth or Jerusalem, he walked those dusty streets to show us how heaven walks among earth again. He came to reorder what sin has disordered. I believe that God created Grants Pass with a divine order in mind. I believe that the prophetic words that are over this valley aren't just true. I believe they're still alive and they're coming. I believe this Josephine County Rogue Valley is actually not just going to be a ministry or a mission field where it is reached. I believe God's going to use this mission field and this region to touch the entire world. And so the enemy, what he does is he knows that he can't stop what God has promised unless he gets the people to reorder the things out of God's priority. My second observation is this. I believe that Jesus has the power to restore the order of things. When Jesus showed up, order began to return. He spoke to storms, and the nature even obeyed. He spoke to demons or principalities and powers over regions, and they fled. He spoke to hearts, and I believe peace came rushing in to those families and those communities. And I believe that Jesus didn't just come to save souls. That is the gospel, and that is what we're centered on. But when Jesus gets the heart of a person, he begins to reorder systems, redeem communities, and restore cities. Here's what he said. The kingdom of God is among you. Meaning heaven's order has invaded earth's chaos. And now, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the Bible says, lives in you. The authority that you have as a believer in your workplace, in your school, in your block, in your city, allows things that have been disordered to return to order. Even when tragedy strikes, even when you look through the community and you can't really see God moving, even when there's chaos that is abounding, I want you to know in our state and in our nation, we are just one move of God away from God reordering things. Tertullian once said this, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Why? Because even in persecution, The church brings order out of chaos. Do you know what our country has been going through the last 4 to 6 weeks as we've watched the first American Christian martyr on American soil be murdered for his faith? What we're seeing is the world looking up and saying that there is something wrong in the order of things. And even out of tragedy, God uses the blood of the martyrs to be the seed of the church. And that's how the early believers brought light to pagan cities. Do you notice that Christians didn't riot? Do you know that Christians didn't get disorderly? Do you know what Christians started to do? They sat up in their chairs and they started to pray. Because we believe that prayer is what changes communities. And prayer is what allows us to be aligned to God's heart. I believe that Jesus brings things back in order. Here's my third observation. I believe the church, the local church, is God's agent of order. I love my city isn't a bumper sticker. And when I say the church is God's agent of order, I'm not just talking about Parkway. This community has several, probably dozen churches that are following God's heart. We are part of a local body. But I believe that local body, the local church, is God's agent to restore the order. Here's what it means. I love my city isn't a bumper sticker. It's a battle cry. It means that I refuse to let darkness define my streets. I refuse to let confusion define our culture. I refuse to let despair define our people. I refuse by not pointing out the problems that are already here. I refuse by ordering my heart in here. See, the church isn't just here to have services. We're here to serve the city back to alignment with God's heart. When we worship, the Bible says we reorder heavens. When we forgive, we reorder relationships. When we feed the hungry, when we visit the lonely, when we preach the gospel, we reorder the city. When we read this book and it tells us as husbands to serve and lay down our lives for our family, the Bible says order is restored in the family. When wives submit to their husbands who are laying down their lives, order is restored in the family. When kids honor moms and dads, order is restored in the city. When families revolve their life around God and not the other stuff, order comes to the city. Because peace comes when order is restored. If you believe that, give the Lord a big round of applause in this place. Hallelujah. So the call. If God has a design for Grants Pass, and Jesus can restore order, and we believe that the church is God's agent of order, then there has to be a call in our lives to reorder our love. Aquinas said the root of disorder is disordered love. When we love the wrong things first, everything else falls apart. My wife and I were challenged several years ago by a mentor of ours to listen to a sermon or a series of sermons or a podcast about the proper order of things. And many of you guys that have been, on in years that have raised kids that are out of your home, you have secrets about the proper order of things that some of us that are still in the mix of raising our children have a hard time seeing. They say if your marriage is 60 years or over, a third of your marriage is going to be raising kids in your home. Two-thirds of your marriage is going to be raising kids that are outside of your home. My wife and I, in this series of prompts or questions that we're probing questions that were in our lives, were, what are you doing now to make sure that you have a strong marriage? Because the best thing that you can do for your children is to love your spouse. What happens when families get broken? It's when they love their kids more than they love their spouse. Are your kids a bad thing? No, your kids are not a bad thing. It's life is won on how you order the good things in your life. The best thing that I can do for Jaden and Jace is love their mom. Show them that their mom is an incredible gift to this family and lay down my life to serve her. And in return, the Bible says that if I do that, She's going to submit to the will and leading of her husband. And when the kids see that, they're going to look at their mom and dad, and they're going to begin to honor their mom and dad, because when God sets things in proper order, the atmosphere for healthy growth begins to happen. But when the society comes after the nuclear family, chaos begins to ensue. You tracking with me today? And so what we have to do is we have to make sure that in our individual lives, the order of things is being led by what the Word of God says. Jesus said this. He said, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all of these things shall be added unto you." That's the divine order. If you want to see your city change, start with your heart and say, "God, first and foremost, I need you to take prominence, first place in our lives." That's what's happening with the church in Revelation. He says, I have this against you, that you've lost your first love. Or your love has become disordered or misordered, and I need you to reorder it so that I can move in your community and city again. Because if God will reorder your love, He'll reorder your home. And when He reorders your home, He'll use you to reorder your street. And when He'll use you to reorder your street, He'll use your church to reorder the city. I'm thankful that God loves our city so much that He's called us to Grants Pass to be able to love our city and serve our city into proper alignment, because I believe city transformation is coming. Let me give you my fifth point as we round third base and we go home. I believe the Holy Spirit restores the city through you and I. Do you recognize that city transformation doesn't begin in government halls? Many of us are waiting for the right politician or the right local leader. I love our local leaders, and I pray for our local leaders. I don't agree with everything that they do. But if you're looking for the answers for our city transformation in government halls, you're going to be waiting for a long time. I believe city transformation begins in God's house. When the church gets in order, the city gets in order. When worship is restored, order follows. When holiness returns, peace reigns. I like what Billy Graham said about this order, the truth of order. Here's what he said. He said, "To get nations back on their feet, we must first get down on our knees." This city's never going to be changed until the church learns how to pray. Isn't it sad that some of the lowest attended church functions today are prayer meetings? To get nations back on their feet, we must first get down on our knees. I love what A.W. Tozer said. He said, "When God is exalted to His proper place in our lives, 1,000 problems are solved at once." Do you recognize there's really just one answer that is most needed in our families and our homes today? Is not just to say we put God first, but to actually put God first. Martin Luther King Jr. said this, and I found this fascinating. He said, "The church must be reminded that it is not the master or the servant of the state, but it is the conscience of the state." When the church doesn't understand their role, they give the city and the government and the local officials roles and responsibilities that they were never meant to have. But when the church stands up and is reminded that they are the conscience of the state, they are the moral backbone, the moral fiber. That's why truth from this pulpit is often buffeted largely than any other place in our communities. Because if God's truth can be spoken from this pulpit and land into your hearts, cities can be transformed. Jack Hayford said this, "When God's people walk in order and humility, the atmosphere of a city begins to shift." Famed missions worker Reinhard Bonnke said this, "The Holy Spirit is not in the entertainment business. He is in the empowerment business." One of the things that has to get reordered is the idea that you feel like it's the job of the pastors to restore the city. The Bible says that it's our job as pastors to equip the saints so that saints can restore and transform the city. You are God's plan. You are God's plan. You are God's sign. And if the sign of God is out of order, it holds no transformation power. But when the sign of God, the plan of God, gets aligned with His purpose, that's when cities are transformed and lives are touched. The greatest thing that you can do, sir, is to love your wife. It's to lay down your wife, life for your family. The greatest thing you can do, mom, wife, is to submit yourself to the godly leadership of your husband. Children, kids, it's the greatest thing that you can do. Ephesians 6:1. Honor and obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's the greatest thing that you can do in your walk with the Lord is to look at this word of God and say, I love my city so much that I'm going to order my steps by what this book says. You don't have to understand it. Your flesh doesn't even have to agree with it most of the time. But if you will surrender your will and you will allow this book, this wonderful book, this wonderful book to get on the inside of your heart. Say, Lord, I love my city. I love my community. I love my family. I love my wife. I love my kids. And I love them so much that I'm going to order my steps by what this word tells me to do. I'm not going to get mad at compassion on the homeless. I'm not going to get mad at compassion on those that are in the throes of addiction. But the Lord teaches me that my priority, suffer the little children, let them come to me. And when you start getting things out of balance, when pornography books start going in kids' libraries, we're out of order. Do you understand that's what's happening in society? God forgive us as a society of believers that allows so many evil things to happen when really we're called to be the voice and conscience of our world. Lord, would you allow us to be people that love our city so much that we walk in obedience to the order of what your word of God says. And when God does that, God doesn't just transform your family. He doesn't just transform your neighborhood. He transforms your city and community. And what I feel like is going to be happening today and tonight, just so you know, is God is giving an invitation to this community. I don't believe that tonight is just a one-time evangelistic event where we're going to come and get goosebumps. I believe what God is doing on the inside of every believer in this community is saying, I need you to reorder the priorities of your life because that is what revival is. Revival isn't chasing a feeling. Revival isn't chasing goosebumps. Revival's not chasing signs. Revival's not chasing wonders. Revival's not chasing miracles. The Bible says when we get things in proper order, those things chase us. Those things chase us. But when a church says, Lord, we want your revival, God whispers back and says, do you want my order? Because if you want his order, there's going to be things that he's going to tell you not to pick up. There's going to be things that he's going to tell you not to touch. There's going to be things that he's going to tell you not to say. There's going to be things he's going to tell you not to drink. There's going to be things he tells you not to listen to. There's going to be things he's going to tell you not to watch and look at and see and partake in. Church isn't going to be about being entertained. Church becomes about being empowered. And when revival hits a community, all revival is God ordering our homes in proper alignment to handle the flow of the Holy Spirit in that community. The Holy Spirit needs a person that is holy, the vehicle of holiness, to be spread throughout a community. The Bible says there's a holiness by which no man will see God. That holiness that God's after in our lives is not perfection. Thank God. It's through submitting our lives and believing and confessing in the finished work of the cross, that Jesus is our substitution. And when we stand on the well of the substitution that God has given us, the water of the Holy Spirit is released through us into our community. And so, Lord, I set the atmosphere for what you're doing in our community and what you're doing through our church. Lord, would you start by reordering me? If there's things that are out of alignment, Lord, I give you permission to come close. Help me not just to lead my family correctly. Help me to lead this church properly and correctly, so that you become the main thing in each and every one of our lives. Lord, we chase you this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Would you stand to your feet as my wife sings one or so worship songs, and we get ready to close our service. We have to respond. The three things that our church is going to be known for: passionate worship, a challenging message, and an opportunity to respond to what God is saying in the room. And I don't know how you need to respond this morning, but I believe the call, the invitation that's going to be starting this morning and extending to tonight to this community is going to be one of, are you willing to reorder? Are you willing to reorganize? Are you willing to make the main thing in your life? And so this morning, man, with your eyes open and you're looking around, you say, Pastor, I'm with you this morning. I agree that I need to reorder some things in my life. Would you stretch up your hands so I can see them? Now, would you take those hands and would you just lift up your eyes towards heaven and say, Lord, I need your help. I need your help in every area of my life. Come on, communicate with your Heavenly Father now, even so your neighbor can hear you, unashamed. Lord, I need to reorder some things in my life. Yes, Lord, we thank you. Yes, Lord, we thank you. Father, whatever it is, even if it's good versus good, Lord, would you teach us how to reorder? God after. Spirit is just reminding, listen, I don't know if you guys have ever read Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14. Corinthians 12 and 14 are like the spiritual gifts and order in the church. Does anyone know what 1 Corinthians 13 is? Chapter about the love of God or the love of Christ in all of us. Love keeps no record of wrongdoings. It's the most popular chapter that we read in weddings. Don't you find it interesting that in the middle of a conversation about 12 and 14, the writer says, but you need to have love. There's a lot of people that are willing to speak truth without love, and it's killing this world. There's a lot of people that want to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, but they don't want to operate in love. And what God begins to do when he reorders is he sets the right thing first. This I command you. What does he say? Love your God with all of your heart. And love your neighbor as yourself. He's setting the priority correct. You guys tracking with me this morning? When you read scripture, a lot of people say, I want the book of Acts, what God does in the book of Acts. I want the miracles and the signs and the wonders. And what God says is, do you want the love? Do you want relationships that are whole? Do you want the work that it's going to take with grace and having it in each other's lives? And so I want you to listen, because I want to be very clear. Sometimes I can get very prophetic and proverbial. I want you to be very clear. You want revival. I want revival. There's a reordering that needs to take place. God is asking us, you want revival? Reorder your priorities and allow me to use you as a vessel where my anointing will flow through. And the invitation here for us in this community is to be a house that's in proper order, proper priority, so the anointing can flow through us to transform a city. So Lord, I'm the first one that'll raise my hand and say yes. There's nothing off limits. If you speak to me about my health, if you're speaking to me about my wealth, if you're speaking to me about the way that I view different priorities in my life, Lord, I give you permission Speak to me about the husband that I am, the father that I am. Lord, speak to me about the pastor that I am. Lord, I give you permission that if there's anything that's out of order, I welcome your conviction in my life, not as my enemy, but as my friend. Lord, I pray for our people this morning. Lord, as we set our expectations, we recognize that the reason why we're not seeing the things that we're supposed to be seeing is because we're not becoming the things that we're supposed to become, which is people that walk in proper order in your presence and in your life. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Lord, I lift up Mario as Mario is hopping on a plane at 11 o'clock today and landing in Medford at 1. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will give him such a distinctive word for this region. I pray, Lord, for everything that is intended to take place in your spirit to be done in Jesus' name, and every distraction or stronghold that tries to come against would be rebuked in Jesus' name. Lord, that we would come rested and ready to receive the revelation that you have for us. And Lord, we come with expectancy and believing hearts that, Lord, you're going to do something in our community, continuing to do something in our community that only you can take credit for. We thank you for this in Jesus' matchless name. And everybody says, doors open 5:15. Make sure you're here. It's going to be an incredible night tonight. God bless you. We'll see you tonight.